This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
Right, so the time is 10 minutes past the hour of 10 o'clock. Let's talk about something that bothers us a lot in South Africa. It's true, it's alcohol and substance abuse. But apparently South Africa is not the only country that is facing this crisis. Great Britain is also grappling with high alcohol consumption rates. In fact, they say that England has the highest rates of alcohol consumption amongst school-going children, school-aged children. It's according to a study of more than 40 countries, a study done by the World Health Organization. The survey was published late last week, and it's found that more than half of 13-year-olds have consumed alcohol somewhere in their young lives in the United Kingdom. And a third of all 11-year-olds have also tasted and drunk alcohol at some point, prompting child health advocates to call for more measures to protect teenagers. The global health experts say that across the UK, 13 to 15-year-old girls were more likely to be drinking, smoking and vaping than boys. So more girls between the ages of 13 and 15 in England are likely to be drinking, smoking and vaping compared to the figures for boys. But in general, teenagers at age 13 have already started drinking, and a third of 11-year-olds have also jumped onto the wagon. Now, alcohol abuse causes 3 million deaths worldwide, according to the World Health Organization, and excessive consumption is now a leading cause of death, as well as mental and physical health. Musa Mdunga, political analyst and comparative politics seminal teacher at the University of Dundee, joins us now. Musa, you are a South African working in the UK, so you know how South Africa is grappling with this issue, but you can also observe, if you can, what the situation is like on the ground in England. From your vantage point, does this report by the World Health Organization stack up?
Good morning, Lerato, and good morning to your listeners. Certainly, you know, when I read this report and, you know, other reports, they definitely do reflect the reality on the ground. Mm-hmm. Certainly, you know, there is a huge culture of underage drinking, you know, in the United Kingdom. Where I am in Dundee, you know, you would know that, you know, stats show that Dundee, for example, is the drug capital of Europe per capita, and also suffers a huge challenge in terms of underage drinking. And certainly when I've spoken to even some of the students I've taught and asked them, you know, about, you know, the drinking culture, when did they start drinking? Many of them will tell you that they started drinking definitely within the ages as presented within this report, you know, some saying at the age of 15, of 16, you know. Mm-hmm. And so definitely there is a culture of underage drinking across UK, but definitely more pronounced, as this report would show, mm-hmm. in England.
Sure. And why is that the case? What does the report tell us?
Well, the report gives various reasons for this. So one of the reasons is of course the proximity of, or in terms of parenting. So parents who drink, there's a tendency in the UK where a lot of kids whose experience of drinking starts and begins in the home. And often it is parents who would be the contributors, who would buy their kids or share with their kids alcohol. In fact, it's amazing when you read the report, it shows that quite a majority of them, it stems from that, with only siblings providing alcohol at a level of about 37% of those respondents. So, you know, this whole idea of, you know, the influence of friends, well, clearly this report shows that there's certainly a drinking culture, and it's emanating from the family construct. And that is where the challenge is. And that's where the government is finding a challenge with dealing with this issue, because often this is happening in people's homes, where people are often able to dictate what happens in their homes.
So this is not about peer pressure, as we tend to assume, but it's about what kids observe inside the home, where there is excessive drinking, it's normalized, and even experimentation is not frowned upon, is what I'm hearing you say.
Exactly. You know, that is the case. So, yes, while maybe there is some element of peer pressure, certainly there is that. But the bigger problem here, you quite noted, it's what kids are observing, you know, from their parents. What is interesting about this report is the fact that often we have thought that, you know, the challenge of underage drinking would occur in less privileged societies and, you know, in societies where the socioeconomic conditions are quite poor. But in fact, the report shows that in England, in actual fact, it's the other way around. In more affluent areas, do we see this issue creep up rather than in poorer areas? You know, where when you compare it to Scotland, it's almost on a 50-50 basis. So it's quite interesting to see how the challenge of underage drinking across Scotland, across UK differs, depending on which of the constituent countries you are looking at.
Okay. Now, what's interesting, Musa, as you're saying, is that, you know, Great Britain is one of the top 10 leading economies in the world. So it's for all intents and purposes, a rich, wealthy, powerful nation. But in recent years, particularly in the last 18 months, those indices have declined. Britain's been facing a serious inflation issue. Brexit has not really delivered on the promise of higher growth and more prospects worldwide. And so British people economically, financially are taking strain. And I wonder if that translates into stress that's leading to more drinking in the home and then children being exposed to it. Can we draw any correlations?
We definitely can, Lerato, draw correlations to that. In fact, when you read the reports, they indicate that certainly from the period where we were all under that COVID-19, you know, the COVID-19 lockdowns, they contributed, in actual fact, to the spike in underage drinking. You know, and certainly, you know, the issue of cost of living, the challenges around the economy, around jobs, the fact that Brexit hasn't really worked out the way so many people would have liked it to work out, you know, is definitely contributes to the challenge of underage drinking. So, you know, we've got to view this as a reflection of what is happening in society. And certainly, unless we see a change perhaps in the economy, you know, especially in the poorer areas, you know, where drinking is happening, and often where underage drinking is happening in homes, there's also a connection in terms of both cannabis use in certain instances, as well as smoking and vaping. And so that's why this report looks at all of these issues, you know, to say there is some correlation here. And that is why the UK government is trying to ban tobacco, ban vaping, you know, remove the issue of attractive advertising and marketing of these things towards children in the similar way, Lerato, that we saw happen in the United States with that infamous product called Juuls, which was the most popular vape at the time. But when then cases arose of children being sick and being hospitalized, you know, the U.S. Congress took a hard stand and took a position on that matter. And so that is why we see similar moves happening in the United Kingdom.
Right. How lax are policies at the moment around vaping? You know, because it's not quite, you know, tobacco smoking. And we've got very clear policies on smoking indoors is not allowed. But I think, you know, there's some confusion. Is vaping the same as smoking or not?
Certainly, you know, vaping has definitely, in terms of its regulation, the regulation part of it has not been at the same level of rigor that we see when it comes to cigarettes. And perhaps this is because, you know, the health issues and challenges and consequences around vaping are still really relatively unknown. They don't dominate the public discourse. Mm. So therefore, even from a policy position, where MPs would definitely have to take up issues from their constituency, you know, certainly this issue isn't one that they've really grappled with, you know, recently. Mm-hmm. But certainly you hear it in the tone of Rishi Sunak, you hear it in the Conservatives that, you know, they certainly alerted to this particular issue. But if you think about the fact that, you know, about 16-year-olds can just go in, get a vape, you know, and often these things are not regulated, you know, and your friends can buy it for you. You know, the ways and means to get around, you know, and even when you go to the store, you know, the selling of vapes, you know, barely will you see somebody ask for an ID, for example. You know, I'll use myself as an example. Yeah, every time I've gone to go buy, for example, alcohol, imagine at my age, I'm still asked for an ID. Right?
But that's because you look so young, Musa.
Well, you know, but then again, then you look at issues around vaping. If I were to go to the store now, nobody's going to ask me for my ID.
Wow.
Right? So, okay. So, you know, and we can test this live today. If I were to go now, you would see that. Mm-hmm. And so this shows you an example of the fact that while issues around underage drinking, cigarette smoking, you know, even drug use is definitely attended to, the issue of vaping is not. Mm-hmm. And yet we know the evidence is clear, you know, that whatever health benefits that were supposed to have been connected with vaping really don't stack up in terms of empirical evidence. And so it'll be interesting to see if we will see the United Kingdom take a more definitive and a stronger position, especially because there have also been cases of young people being hospitalized, especially those who tend to use these more advanced vapes, where the batteries within the vapes explode. There have been incidences of that both in the UK, in mainland Europe, as well as the United States. So the more these cases start to creep up, I think the pressure on the United Kingdom government will be there to deal with it, especially, Lerato, on, as I say, the marketing that goes with these things that make it seem cool. That is why in the United States, for example, they did away with the flavored vaping and color vapes in order to remove the attractiveness to young people. And sorry, last note, Lerato, particularly when we look at the girl child, because they are the most likely to vape and they're most likely to then progress to cigarettes. And that's what this report is pointing out, and especially in England.
And what's intriguing is the girl child issue, right?
So,
is that there's something about the British teenage girl feeling very empowered and emboldened. Where does that stem from?
So to one extent, one can deposit that to that, right? That there's an element of empowerment. Of course, you're talking about a country, you know, where, you know, the rights of women are being advanced. But in actual fact, when we look at the girl child, it's other issues here. In fact, what has been seen, especially under COVID-19, was that the level of underage drinking, smoking, is also being connected to mental health issues. So there has been a huge spike of mental health issues emanating particularly from COVID-19. And this has to do both with the domestic experience, you know, things that are happening at home, the challenges that the girl child is facing, like the boy child. But certainly, you know, it's definitely more pronounced in the girl child. And so issues of mental health have been flagged as the key reason why girls are likely to take vaping more than boys. Girls are likely to engage in underage drinking more than boys in the United Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And that's very interesting, right? Because, you know, if we think of our prejudices as society, we would assume that the bad would linger with the boy child. But certainly what this report is showing us, that more attention has got to be given towards dealing with this issue, particularly when we look at the girl child and the issues around mental health.
Okay, so, and as you said, COVID-19 really brought to the fore the vulnerabilities that little girls face inside the family home. We can attribute that to many things, from the chores that they have to take on.
Yes.
And we know that during COVID, a lot of issues around gender-based violence were amplified.
Yes.
Now suddenly women were home with their abusers.
Yes. Mm. Yes. And that definitely, you know, really fueled the fire in terms of this particular challenge. Issues around gender-based violence, issues around, you know, a depressed economic condition. When you then think really about how the effects of COVID-19 really had an even huger bearing in terms of women headed homes, you know, that was a challenge as well. And a challenge that, in fact, you see in the United Kingdom. These are things, of course, if you don't have the chance to travel or to live in another country, and you're not able to see, because, it's easy for us as South Africans to live in our bubble and think we are dealing with these challenges alone. But actual fact, the events that happened in that incident in Nyogeni happen here a lot. Mm. You know, they may not be as reported. In fact, when I was called for this interview, I then said, okay, let me do my research and see in terms of UK media, is this issue being picked up? And it's amazing to see that, you know, it gets some attention, but it hasn't really, you know, a spotlight hasn't been shined on this issue. And it's quite challenging to see why that is. Mm. You would imagine that such a case as this would get more airtime, but in actual fact, it doesn't. And that may be also a failure of just, maybe people just accepting that this is part and parcel of the culture. Mm. And perhaps that's why in the UK, this is more prominent, is because it's now been embedded in the social culture and fabric of the society. Right. And that's why it's not taboo to give a 15-year-old a bottle of beer. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not going to be shunned upon. Yeah. And that's where the challenge is.
Okay, so the study, and we must remember that this is a study from the World Health Organization, right? So
Yes. The
premier international agency around global healthcare. And they presided over the whole global pandemic on COVID-19. So they have done this report, and their study has also analyzed data relating to cigarette smoking, vaping, and alcohol consumption.
Yes.
In about 280,000 school-aged children across 44 countries in Europe, Central Asia, and Canada. Britain comes out as one of the worst performers. But who else is on the list of notoriety? Shall we call them that? The naughty list.
This is interesting, right? So if you were to look at the report and where England is positioned, a pattern arises when you look at the country it is grouped with. The likes of Lithuania, Bulgaria, Estonia, Romania, Latvia, Hungary. What do all these countries have in common? You know, many of them were part of the Soviet Union bloc. Many of these countries are, when you compare to Western Europe, in terms of economic development and growth, are not at the same level. There are huge levels of poverty and unemployment, and there's a huge economic depression in those countries. And many of those countries, the people there then, you know, obviously leave for better job opportunities to the likes of Germany, UK, and France. So it's interesting to find England, whose level of development and economic stature is different to these countries, yet it faces the same challenges. So as I said, you think of the countries here, it's Lithuania, Bulgaria, Estonia, Romania, Latvia, Hungary, Albania, Serbia, Poland, Slovakia, Armenia, right? So you don't see a France or a Germany or a Netherlands where England is being grouped. So that's very, very interesting. And again, Lerato, it goes back to that point that you made initially, that is there a connection between the economic conditions as experienced by the people, and then the issue of vaping, cigarettes, and drinking in terms of underaged individuals. And certainly, this report makes a very interesting point. The fact that you find England there, raises questions is England so developed as we think it is?
Yeah.
And in actual fact, Lerato, then when you were to break England down, because often people just think of London, if you were to remove London from the picture and South England, for a fact,
yeah,
and you were to now go up into the north and the northeast, that's where you find the challenges. And if you were to look at the level of economic development, even on a per capita basis, in those areas, they compare to the likes of Lithuania, Bulgaria, etc.
Okay.
So that's where it is interesting, is that once you go and you make a constituency analysis, then these numbers all of a sudden start to make sense, and England's position among these countries starts to make sense.
Oh, gosh, we could break this down even further, but we've run out of time, Musa Mdunge. And I think that's a really sober place to leave it, as many of us assume the UK is London or Manchester, you know, or big cities like that. But Greater England are areas that have a lot of inequality, often have quite a bit of disinvestment, and now social degradation too. Thanks for your time.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.